The name of this tape is The Prostitute Press, or The Fourth Estate. I have here before me a work done many years ago, 16 years ago exactly. And since this book was printed, the situation has deteriorated, as they say, rapidly in the infantry, which is a mild understatement. This book, written 16 years ago, was when the television news media was only about 70% corrupt. It is now about 98% corrupt. The book is called News from Nowhere, Television and News by Edward J. Epstein, Vintage Books, a division of Random House, New York, published April 1974 during the Vietnam War. This thing here is an analysis of what happens to you when you sit down in front of a boob tube expecting to hear the news. And the points covered in this very thoroughly documented book are the structures of the news media, the selection process, the outputs, and then an index a bibliography running well over 100 works. This book discusses how you get pictures from an organization for TV, what the political ground rules are for showing something on television, the economic logic behind televising a news item or not televising a news item, the intelligence function, that is the choice of the right news item to get the interest, the decision, that is, the decision made as to whether or not to show a thing or not show a thing, or cut out a part you don't like, or put in a part you do like. The values, that is, what the television editors, television newsmen, television journalists, television commentators, and news organizations believe about morals. And finally, their pictures of society that they give you over the boob tube and their versions of the national news. Now, this is a very interesting book. And this shows you that if a man wants to remain sane in this century, it's best for him not to watch a news telecast more than once every 6 months. And he probably doesn't need one then. I want you to listen carefully. This book is not written by a Christian. It's not written by a saved man, let alone a Baptist. This is just an in-depth study running something like 270 pages of what is done to the so-called news before you get it. Page 5. Network news organizations select not only which events will be portrayed as national and world news on television, but which parts of the film portions of those events, when recombined by editing, will stand for the whole mosaic. That is, the news item you've seen is a carefully built and constructed piece of propaganda with selection, deletions, and additions. This necessarily involves choosing symbols which will have some more general meaning to a national audience. The picture is not a fact, but a symbol, Reuven Frank notes. The real child and its real crying become symbols of all children. Page 5. In the same way, a particular black may be used to symbolize the aspirations of his race. A particular student may be used to symbolize the claims of his generation, and a particular policeman may be used to symbolize the concept of authority. Whether the black chosen is a Black Panther or an integrationist, whether the student is a long-haired revolutionary or a young Republican, whether the policeman is engaged in a brutal or a benevolent act obviously affects the picture of the event received by the audience. Now, these are stereotypes. And if you're a college graduate, you know what a terrible sin it is, according to the NEA, to present stereotype blacks or stereotype women or stereotype men, especially the Amos and Andy stereotype black. However, all you get on a newscast is stereotypes. That's what you get. What he has told you here is something you may not have gotten. I'll help you out. This is the inductive Darwinian method of scientific research which overthrows the rule with the exception. I better try that again. This is used the exception to overthrow the rule instead of the exception to prove the rule. This is saying that instead of actually giving the news, you take one black man and use him to get across a story that isn't true. Or you take one policeman as a symbol of something that isn't true, and that you teach by symbols without actually giving the facts, plural. You don't go into the rule, which can be proved over and over and over again. You use the exception to the rule. A good example is a black boy sitting next to a blonde, or a black man in a picture kissing a blonde, or a black man in a political group shaking hands with a blonde woman. The cameraman is instructed to pick up these pictures, and they're selected out of the whole crowd, which sometimes numbers more than 20,000 people. You are to believe the rule is that black men should mess around with blonde women. He's selling you on an idea, but he is focusing the camera, editing and selecting and deleting to get across the idea. Page 6. This is the thrust of the criticism of network news made by Vice President Spiro Agnew, which is run as follows. No medium has a more profound influence over public opinion than television, of which the free networks have a virtual monopoly. Which statement is absolutely true. No matter what may be said about Spiro Agnew, that statement is absolutely certain. Page 7. For millions of Americans, the networks are the sole source of national and world news. Absolutely correct. Network news determined, the argument continues, by a handful of men responsible only to their corporate employees who wield a free hand in selecting, presenting, and interpreting the great issues in our nation, with broad powers of choice over which news picture to select and which to reject. Absolutely true. 100% true, no matter who said it. If Jim Jones or Tammy Baker had said it, it would be just as true. Page 7. The small group of executives, producers, and correspondents can, by selecting the news, create national issues overnight. They do. They select every time somebody gets killed with a gun to get rid of your guns. Every time a black gets mistreated to prove that they're always mistreated and discriminated against. And every time some nice fellow everybody loves dies of VD like Rock Hudson to prove that good people have VD too and you can associate with queers and sex perverts and get it and still be a good person. Page 7. They can make or break by their coverage and commentary a moratorium on the war, elevate men from obscurity to national prominence. Absolutely true. Reward some politicians with national exposure and ignore others. Absolutely true. They can cause Oliver North to be investigated into every detail of his private life, while they can cause you to hide Martin Luther King's record where nobody can examine his private life. They can cause two conservative appointees to the Supreme Court to be benched and thrown out. And they can cause a radical left-wing naive nut like Brennan to stay in for a lifetime. Page 7. They can determine how much of each side of a great issue will be presented to the public. True. Furthermore, this small group of men in network news tend to share certain similar views and working conditions that proceed in part from the business, which is true. Agnew argued they tend to emphasize scenes depicting the more dramatic moments of violence, lawlessness, and bitter dissent. Absolutely true. Network news, as the creator of this truncated picture of society, is directly and inextricably connected to politics by this analysis. What he's saying is that since a Republican told the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about these matters, that you should get rid of every Republican in the business if you're involved in the news media business and TV. You have to become a Democrat, because the man that made those statements happened to be a Republican. Network news, as the creator of this truncated picture of society, is directly connected to politics by this analysis. That means that to be a news media man today, you have to be a Democrat. Because it was a Republican who told the truth, the whole truth, and no Democrat ever opened his mouth about it. Now, one or two examples. Here's Pinckley, known as Brinkley, page 11, reporting, a vastly popular song through most of the summer and fall is called Ruby Don't Take Your Love to Town. It's been high on the bestseller list, sung by Kenny Rogers and the First Edition. But it is more than a pop song, it is a social documentary, a comment on our times and on the war in Vietnam. It is the lament of a Vietnam veteran returned home gravely wounded, confined to his bed, lying there listening as his wife goes out at night, leaving him because the war has left him unable to move. Well, what that song says and its wide popularity in this country may tell more about the ordinary American's views of the Vietnam War than all the Gallup polls combined. And here's the song set to film. A 3-minute film followed, supposedly illustrating the song and showing what purported to be the room of the crippled veteran, complete with mementos, trophies, photographs, and his wife's, Ruby's, belongings, interspersed with scenes of the room where were scenes of Vietnam War, flamethrowers, helicopters, tanks, Johnson and Nixon. The veteran's wife can be heard leaving the door slammed, and the film ends with a funeral. You see how effective that is? You see what's wrong with it? The thing was alive from start to finish. Brinkley was lying. The pictures were lying. The scene was lying. And the film was lying. Page 11. The song, although identified as a social documentary on the Vietnam War, was actually based on a World War II incident. A fact which the executive producer of the Huntley-Brinkley program himself subsequently apprised me of. Nor was it on the bestseller songs at the time of the broadcast. That is, they made the song popular. You see that? The news media created an issue, and that way created a hit by lying about where it came from. And some of you watched it and believed it. Page 12. The recreation of the popular song was, in fact, entirely fiction. The Veterans Room was a movie set in Los Angeles, rented for the occasion. All the decor and war souvenirs were props which were selected, the field producer explained to me, to create an atmosphere of futility and absurdity. The few seconds of battle scenes intercut of the story to show what the veteran was thinking of as his wife left him. It was pure fiction from start to finish. And that's what you got for years on Huntley and Brinkley and Mike Wallace and the rest of them. On page 21, quote, further, proverbial wisdom notwithstanding, pictures do lie in the sense that they depict spurious realities. For example, the news director of CBS News in Washington noted one of the most impressive CBS News efforts came in 1968 with Hunger in America. The hour opened with film of a baby actually dying as the camera took its pictures. The broadcast had tremendous impact. You say, why? Because it was a desperate piece of lying. Lying is always effective. Hitler found that out. Over this scene, which depicted an extremely thin and malformed baby dying while being given resuscitation in a hospital, the narrator Charles Kuralt said, hunger is easy to recognize when it looks like this. The baby is dying of starvation. He was an American. Now he is dead. See, the professional con artist develops the voice to where it sounds authoritative. Millions of viewers naturally assume that the baby died of starvation or malnutrition. However, this was not the case. Page 22. A government investigation subsequently disclosed that the dying baby, whom CBS photographed to illustrate the effects of starvation, was a 3-month premature child weighing less than 3 pounds at birth, whose parents were neither poor nor starving. The mother, a school teacher, had the premature birth after an automobile accident. Now, that's the kind of stuff you're going to get on NBC, CBS, and ABC. The writer asked, is a network news organization justified using, for another example, footage of a South Vietnamese base in South Vietnam as evidence of a permanent South Vietnamese base in Cambodia, as was admittedly done on the CBS Evening News on June 18, 1970, by the fact that there is reliable information that South Vietnamese bases actually existed at the time in Cambodia? In such case, it must be recognized the validity of the story depends not on the photographs used to illustrate it, since they may turn out to be fictional, but on the reliability of the information of which it is predicated. Fictional photography? Of course. That's what you get on CBS, NBC, and ABC, and have been getting for 40 years. In the Martin Luther King riots, one of the favorite pictures photographed by all the cameramen was a picture of a woman on top of a black policeman on top of a woman trying to hit her with a club. The sequence before that was simply eliminated from the TV film. In the sequence before that, what happened was the woman had slapped the policeman, scratched his eyes, and taken his club away from him, and he was trying to recover the club when the film strip was cut at that point. That picture appeared in the front of Newsweek, Time, and Life magazine, with no apologies. In the Selma March, he was shown pictures of these valiant Roman Catholic priests, along with these white liberals marching alongside the blacks, with America's foremost fornicating communist and most notorious liar right in the middle, wearing a North Korean Russian winter hat right after the Korean conflict had been over a few years. You know what the TV camera didn't record that I have copies of? Dozers, handbills passed out all along the route of the march, inviting white girls to come to a burlesque show in a tent being put up each night along the march, and saying, let down your mid-Victorian morals, come in and join in the fun. The route was not just littered with cigarette butts, it was littered with beer cans and condoms. But that didn't show up on CBS, NBC, and ABC. You see why? You can't get the news on a network. Page 23. That the editing process involves something more than merely raw intelligence is illustrated by the way that NBC Evening News depicted Harlem after the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. on April 4, 1968. 4 days after the assassination, the NBC Evening News carried a film report about the relative calm in the ghettos in New York City. Huntley, here's your boy, introduced the story by saying, this is what Brokaw and Dan Rather are doing now. They're brainwashing you with fiction. Hunt introduced the story by saying, Los Angeles and New York City, scenes of two of the first big city racial riots, were relatively quiet over the weekend. Though there were disturbances Thursday night in Harlem, Mayor John Lindsay stepped in quickly, and his intervention has been credited with helping prevent further trouble. The film story that followed, which was edited from 4 days of footage taken in a half dozen parts of the city, showed Mayor Lindsay, a news media god, like Jesse Jackson and Dolly Parton and Rock Hudson and Elvis Presley and Ted Kennedy and Dukakis and Mandela, walking through the street, shaking hands with militants as he passed friendly crowds, conferring with community leaders, and addressing a memorial service. The narration over the film concluded, the single most important factor in keeping New York peaceful appears to have been John Lindsay. NBC presented this picture of relative quiet, despite the fact that it had a good deal of information from the AP and UPI wire services, the New York police teletype, newspaper accounts, and news films, which indicated that the disturbance that began on April 4th and continued through April the 8th were anything but peaceful. In fact, according to the New York Times, these disturbances were on a scale which rivaled, if not surpassed, the 1964 first big city racial riots. Keeping New York peaceful simply meant 534 incidents of burglary, arson, and disorderly conduct directly attributed to the disorders following the assassination of Dr. King. Moreover, most of these disturbances occurred after, quote, Lindsay stepped in quickly on April the 4th, unquote. Despite the fact the film story shows the mayor helping prevent trouble by walking through the ghetto, actually the mayor's tour sparked part of the trouble when one of his bodyguard became involved in a fracas with a black militant leader of Allah's Five Percenters. Page 24, the coverage of this news story was shaped by a more general policy. An NBC memorandum on riot coverage explains that Robert Norshield, executive producer of the Huntley Brinkley Report, told us that he made an effort to use the minimum amount of riot footage following the assassination of King. Before he edited the story, he said it should emphasize the restoration of peace rather than violence. A little later you'll find that all three networks assume the same stance that violence is the best news getter and should always be photographed at the expense of peaceful footage. But not in the case of blacks. In the case of blacks, you are to create a false impression. In plain words, all the news footage you got from South Africa for the last 10 years was phony. And every time somebody got upset or got hit with a club or got arrested by a white, it was photographed. And this last year, when 700 blacks killed each other, you got no footage. That's called NBC policy. Memorandum, this time, from the executive producer of a national newscast. You'll learn it after a while. There is no news on the communist broadcasting system, CBS, and the National Blockheads Club, NBC, and the atheist broadcasting company, ABC. The news isn't there. What is there is aimed, calculated propaganda. Page 29. This presumes that all the members of news organizations, whether they be executive or correspondent, share certain outlooks on what constitutes news stories, and will act according to these concepts even when their actions conflict with the interests of the organization that employs them. That can be edited out. The correspondents I interviewed, page 30, almost all define news in terms of time. News is what is new in the world since our last broadcast. Or news is what has happened today, or news is change are typical of the definition given by newsmen. But when they say what happened today or what happened since the last broadcast, they mean in line with what we were previously trying to convince you of in the previous broadcast. That is, broadcasts are aimed and edited to create a situation and then are followed up, and they're called crises, like the hostage crisis, or the Iranian crisis, or the Oliver North crisis, or the Watergate crisis. So the news media starts on a certain slant with a certain thing in mind, and then each day, the next thing that comes up is not reported if it's not in line with what they're trying to put across. This explains how your silver certificate was taken from you back in the 1960s without you even knowing about it, and replaced with a Federal Reserve note, and not one word from NBC, CBS, and ABC. It explains how you lost all the silver in your quarters, half dollars, and by the way, now in your dimes and nickels. I better go further. I was shown the other day an aluminum penny. Dan Rather? Sorry. Brokaw? Not at home. Barbara Walters? Not in. Ted Turner? We'll write you later. There is no news on NBC, CBS, or ABC. Now, in deciding what to feed you and what to keep from you, page 177, we read this. Now, you understand this book is not written by a Baptist preacher or a rabble-rouser or a hate-monger or a prophet of doom. This was first vintage book edition, April 1974, copyright by Edward J. Epstein, probably a Jew, News from Nowhere, Television and the News. A third value accepted without question by film editors is that only the portions of the film that fulfill the agreed-upon story should be used. Film that contradicts or even appears to undercut any point in the story should be omitted. Did you get that? Without question, the editor of the film removes everything from the film that disagrees with what the story is supposed to teach. That is, only the part of the film is retained that puts across the particular point of propaganda the company is trying to get across at that time. For example, you get an Academy Award out of Roots or A Curious Color of Yellow or Purple Lesbians or something, and have a nice photograph of a woman standing by a drinking fountain. She's a black woman and the thing says white only, and she's finally achieved a chance to drink out of a white drinking fountain. Do you know what's omitted from the story? 70,000 assaults on teachers a year in the public school system, 100,000 assaults on students, students in integrated schools wearing bulletproof jackets to school, and more than 5 million blacks fired from their jobs in 1964 because the Justice Department would be ready to shut down the owner's operation if he didn't hire and fire according to the federal Soviet judge system. And as a consequence, unemployment and taxes and affirmative action. That's the story of the black woman at the white drinking fountain. But she doesn't fit, she undercuts a point in the story, you see. In plain words, the story is that victory, blacks are equal with whites. Don't put anything into the story that overthrows that story. The rest of the story would have destroyed the first one. The CBS News Manual states, here's the Bible for them. The film editor should cut the pictures with a storyline or general script in mind. The scene should tell the story, beginning, middle, and end, with the accompanying narration adding the related facts. You want that in plain English? The scenes that are filmed and put across should convince you that guns should be registered and confiscated, prisoners should be let out of jail, no child should be spanked for murdering somebody in a high school hall, abortion should be carried out regularly, and the narration should add related facts like these are just lifestyles, New Age, Aquarian Humanism, man is the measure of all things, human rights and social justice. That is, you are to be told a lie, reinforced with lies, and it's to be pictured in front of your face. Page 177, if, for example, a story concerned the integration of a school, here we go. The editor is supposed to choose footage showing black and white students together. You see, the photographer is given orders before he goes out. Even if the vast preponderance of footage shows either all black or all white students congregating together, a situation which often occurs, since integration is frequently token rather than real. And integrated schools often maintain a de facto segregation by using track systems. All of them do. Integration never worked anywhere in any school. But if you're going to have a story on integration, it has to prove integration is correct and right, and further that it works. That is, if you are a cameraman, you have to prove a lie. and the lie is published by your editor, and then you get it on CBS, NBC, and ABC. What you get is a fictitious Disney World presentation of non-truth. NBC producers in New York, for example, criticized the editing of a story about the integration of the Shaker Heights schools in Ohio, since the establishing shots failed to show Negro and white students mixing. You failed to show the story because it told the truth. You failed to show the story about integration Shaker Heights since it didn't back up your preconceived opinion about what integration should be. Exactly. That's what the American public has been getting from CBS, NBC, and ABC for 40 years without a let up. Do whites and blacks mix in downtown Philadelphia? Of course not. Do they mix in downtown Detroit? Of course not. Do they mix in Gary, Indiana? Of course not. Do they mix anyplace else? Don't be silly. That's Disney World. You're to take pictures set up to prove they do because they don't. One New York producer told the field producer in Cleveland, you need a recut to get some Negroes in there. There's the token black. You never see any signs of integration. Well, if you don't see any signs of integration, why are you trying to push it? He says, you never see any signs of integration. Of course you don't, because it doesn't work. So you rig up a camera outfit and give the instructor, you know, the photographer instructor, to look for places where somebody would think it was going on. Quote, you definitely need some Negroes in the opening scene. I'm hoping you can drop some in. That's how it's done. You put in the film what's not in the film. You create a fantasy land for your viewer, and you viewers have been watching it. You will get a bubblehead if you keep watching that bubble box. You put the token Negro in to convince somebody something so that isn't so. You make him captain of the police department on the weekly television show so he'll have authority over his white underlings. You make the black a female judge on a court so the white man has to say your honor to a black woman. You present an unreal world by using the exception to overthrow the rule. You see how it's done? That's the inductive method of modern science. The exception does away with the rule. You photograph the intelligent black detective, figuring out all the things the poor dumb white cops can't figure out, helping them solve the mystery. It's done every day, 7 days a week. You say, what for? To create a dream world. Page 177, the Cleveland producer replied over the telephone that there was in fact very little mixing, but that he would have the film editors put in whatever we have. Isn't that something? That's Joseph Goebbels in Nazi Germany, just as good as you ever saw him. That's as fine an editing job as Adolf Hitler ever did in producing a propaganda film anywhere in Germany. Page 178, film editing can also be used to enforce the policies of producers and executives. You know what a policy is? It's a religious conviction. A policy means we have a habit of doing it this way, this is the way we do it. Film editing can also be used to enforce the policies of producers and executives. What are the policies of producers and executives? Well, who doesn't know after watching the news media operate now for something like 30 or 40 years? The first policy is always present integration like it's working, when it never does. The second policy, act like registration and confiscation of guns will stop crime, which it won't. The third policy is free sale of liquor and get away with prohibition and you'll cut down on national expenditures, which you didn't. The news media has never been right on one major issue since 1933. They've been wrong every time, never hit one right out of 1,000. Next policy. Cut it in the lumber industry and destroy your economic system to save the white owl. Cut in the fishing industry and destroy the fishing industry and get federal control over it by worrying about certain species, and then keep the fishermen off the beach so they don't trample down the sea oaks. You're going to need them for condominiums. The news media has never been right, one time in one issue since it started. The policy of all producers and executives is to get rid of capital punishment. So the jail is so overloaded today, the policy now is let the prisoners out of the jail. The news media produces the crisis, amplifies the crisis, and then spends time suggesting solutions for the crisis, and none of them work. Because the crisis was created by the news media itself and never should have been created. But it was listened to, and it was watched, and so it was followed. The news media policy in Korea was, don't cross the Yalu River. So we didn't. MacArthur got fired. You lost the war. The news media policy when McCarthy was showing you all the communists in the State Department was, it was a witch hunt. Get rid of McCarthy. So you did, and the communists controlled the State Department for 40 years. The news media has never been right on one major issue since 1933. Not one. And they're just untrustworthy today as they always were because of the, quote, policies of the producers and the executives. Our writer says on page 178, unlike correspondents who at least claim some autonomy in interpreting news occurring in their presence, film editors think of themselves as working directly for the producer of a program and their function as complying with his instructions. As one NBC producer said, my final control is in the editing room. That's the control of what you get on the box. It's edited in line with the religious and social and economic convictions of the producers and executives and editors. Finally, when the edited picture track is merged with the soundtrack and narration and special effects added, the process of reconstructing reality is completed. Reconstructing reality? That isn't the term for it. No reality is instructed. Is constructed. What is constructed is a Disney world of incredible nonsense going so far beyond the credibility gap that a sane person couldn't take it very long. Quote, the fact that the stories are reconstructed routinely according to certain established guidelines, practices, and policies tends to perform, if not determine, the resulting images in a number of ways. That's the straight dope on it. That's from News from Nowhere by Edward J. Epstein. And that is exactly where it comes from because it never occurred. It's concocted out of a clear blue sky according to the imagination and convictions of those in charge. I'll read it again. The fact that the stories are reconstructed routinely according to certain established guidelines. Did you ever hear that word before? Guidelines? Did you ever hear that word before? Your news media comes to you in that context. It is established according to certain guidelines. You know what a guideline is? It's a way of doing a thing to produce a certain result, with no reference to morality or ethics or law. The guidelines set up by the Supreme Court are unconstitutional, and the guidelines set up by the NEA and the school produce morons with no ethical standards. They're called guidelines. Your newscast is set up according to these guidelines, and the pictures are put together to reconstruct a situation that isn't even there. To perform, to preform, if not determine, the resulting images of reality in a number of ways. The images are fiction because they've been put together according to a preconceived setup, guidelines, and policies which are determined before the cameraman turns on the camera and before the film gets to the editing room. Now, these guidelines and policies are fixed, and they are fixed for CBS, NBC, and ABC, so no matter which network you get incredible nonsense every time you tune in. The guidelines are fixed, the policies are fixed, so what you get is Newsweek, Life, Time, and the Gannett Papers in visual form. That is, Disney World fairy tales for grown-up nuts. And we will list what those guidelines are. The first of these is when any film is edited, the final product is a piece of propaganda to control guns by registration or confiscation. That's a fixed policy. No film is produced to get across any other opinion or position. Number two. All editing, all photography, all camera shots, all angles, all setups, and all final products must prove that race mixing is a profitable, holy, godly, scriptural, Christian, American thing to do, and that it works. That guideline has to be followed. Thirdly, that the Pope is the greatest Christian who ever lived, and that he's little short of something that is sinless, and that his advice and his wisdom is the greatest on earth today, and all nations can safely follow it. That's a guideline for all filming about the Pope. Another guideline is Martin Luther King Jr. must always be presented as a hero and never as a scoundrel, always as a national pioneer like Abraham Lincoln, and never as a dirty, lying, fornicating communist, which is exactly what he was. That's a guideline. No TV, CBS, NBC, ABC news report can picture him in any other light. It has to be that light. You say, what about the films that show contrary? They're buried. You can't look at them. You said, what about the news items about his life that show contrary? They're buried. You can't look at them. Your news was censored. It didn't match the guideline. Thirdly, the fifth guideline is that all articles in the interest of public service should be in line with the democratic senatorial philosophy of life. That is, control over the family, control over the children, federal control over the property, federal control over the liquor stores, federal control of prostitution, federal control over pornography, federal control over the things in your house. That is, it leans toward that the article should teach that the safest way to get along is by letting the government operate your family. Another guideline to be used is that anybody who tries to educate teenage children is a cult leader abusing children or neglecting children. That is, Christian homes for delinquents, Christian homes of rehabilitation, Christian homes for young people, and especially Christian schools educating middle school and high school students, should be always presented with a halo suspicion cast over how they're operated. This is done without any exception, has been done for 30 years. You never saw one documentary anywhere on television, day or night, about one Christian school set up by a bunch of Bible-believing Christians that presented the work in a positive light. Not one. Next, you must always present Germany as the boogeyman and Russia as the good fella. Russia was the good fellow for winning World War II. Russia was the good fellow for not persecuting anybody. Russia was the good fellow for punishing the Nazis. And then all the time that Russia ran 200 million people in Eastern Europe and tortured and murdered and killed them, and still does, and set up more than five times as many concentration camps as Hitler set up, you never got any report. Where was old Johnny Hot on the spot with 100 concentration camps in Russia? I've got a map here with them on them and named by a fellow who spent more than 15 years in them. Where's the report? Isn't that strange? Where's the TV documentarian Richard Rembrandt getting whipped and spending 3 years in solitary for being a Baptist minister? Where's Harlan Popoff's documentary? Isn't this strange? Isn't this the strangest thing you ever saw? Here are these nice little talk shows presenting you all this problem and trouble that lesbians and gays and queers and AIDS victim have, and no two-hour documentary on Harlan Popoff's 13 years in a Russian concentration camp? Where are all your film stories on the invasion of Afghanistan, the genocide, the killing of more than 1 million people? Where are they? Why, the matter was just barely touched on with a couple of camera shots in a period of 5 years. Why, you've got documentaries on Vietnam running an hour and 2 hours at a time, shown 25 times a year. You've got documentaries on the Third Reich, shown an hour and 2 hours at a time, that have been running for 15 years. And they only killed 6 million Jews and 1 million civilians in concentration camps. Stalin killed more than that the first 5 years he was in power. 4 times that number. Where were the documentaries? They weren't there. When the Southern Baptists went to China and came back bragging about communism being the Christian form of the economy, Mao Zedong had killed more than 12 million of his own people. Where were the reporters? Where were the correspondents? Where were the bold crusading journalists, Johnny on the spot, hot in the action, where the action is, action news, see it tonight, first hand on the... You have nothing on it. Nothing. You're not going to get anything on it. We supplied the communists with materials, and still do, for 40 years, and Russia would be bankrupt today if it weren't for us, and Gorbachev knew it. Where are the commentaries, where are the documentary films of CBS, NBC, and ABC on more than 700 blacks killing each other since Mandela got back with $7 million a year of money for ammunition and arms? Where's the documentary? If the documentary is made, it'll be edited. It'll be edited so the fault will be the fault of blacks who side with white people. You say, why? That's NBC, ABC, and CBS policy. That's executive guideline. You're not going to get any news on television tonight, or tomorrow night, or the next night, or the night after that. Page 184, the selection process. To approach this problem, I studied the selection process at the NBC Evening News over a 10-week period. For my purposes, a decision was simply defined as the elimination of a possible news story from further consideration, the point at which a story either was crossed off a producer's list or not added to a revised list considered to be the point a decision was reached. A positive definition of a decision as the moment at which the story was included in the program was less useful, since it was not usually known until the final rundown what would definitely be used, while it was known at various points throughout the day which were definitely eliminated. There are certain news stories that don't get a news. They're eliminated. They're purposely omitted. In cases in which there was a general agreement on the standard used for eliminating a story, and this was the rule, not the exception, I assumed it to be an established criteria. It certainly is an established criteria. There certainly is a standard for eliminating a story, and it certainly is the rule. The standards are very simple. Does the story oppose gun control? eliminate it? Does the story oppose integration? Eliminate it. Does the story speak disparagingly of queers and lesbians? Eliminate it. Does the story give the benefit of a doubt to a Republican senator or a president or a president's son? Eliminate it. Does the story tend to place the blame for trouble on a Democratic administration? Eliminate it. Does the story tend to support the work of Christian schools or Christian children's homes? Eliminate it. Does the story tend to be derogatory of the poop? Eliminate it. Does the story tend to emphasize the independency of Ulster as a separate state over Erie and Ireland? Eliminate it. Does the story tend to place the blame upon the murders in Ireland, upon the Roman Catholic IRA? Eliminate it. Does the story tend to low-rate Russia and exalt Germany? Throw it out. The standards are absolutely fixed. Page 190, local stories defined by an NBC producer somewhat facetiously during a staff meeting as news occurring outside of Washington or New York are usually eliminated by the staff early in the narrowing down process. In evaluating possible stories, the responding producer explained, the touchstone applied is whether or not a story will have nationwide interest. More closely defined, a news happening occurring outside of Washington or New York, is deemed by the producers to have nationwide interest if the newsmakers involved are both well-known in most areas of the country and generally considered to be national leaders as opposed to local ones. That is, federalized national government will obliterate local government. It's news if it comes from Washington or New York. Why? Because there are more blacks in New York than there are in Johannesburg, Africa. To be newsworthy, it must come from Washington or New York. Why? Because Washington is the highest crime murder capital in the world, for the dope-headed black mayor. That's why it has to come from Washington or New York. Because New York has more than 30,000 blacks in it, more than the largest city in Africa. Those are the standards. And those are newsy items that are put down on places like Bay Minette, Alabama, Tacoma, Oklahoma, Benton, Arkansas, Comfort, Texas, and God knows where. Page 191, in certain cases, film stories are precluded by the staff because they conflict with the prior decision or policy laid down by the executive producer. Such policies may restrict whole categories of events. They exclude about 90% of what's going on. They emphasize 10% of what they want you to think is going on. Page 191, for example, is a matter of long-standing network policy. The executive producer explained, sports stories are ruled out as a subject for the NBC Evening News, except when they serve to promote a major sports event televised by the network, such as the Rose Bowl. Just as certain types of news stories are excluded at times by prior decisions, the advancement of others to the stage of the final rundown may be considered mandatory by producers. You see how it's done? It's entirely subjective and depends upon the religious convictions of the producer and the executives and the editors. And their convictions are all the same. They are practical atheists who favor the Catholic Church. There are people who favor the PLO and the Arabs over Israel. There are people who favor Russia over Germany. There are people who prefer masculine women and feminine men over normal people. And the policies all tend toward race mixing, gun control, gun confiscation, and a police state owned and operated by the federal government. Page 194, while each network features a Washington story almost every day, at NBC, it is considered a house rule, according to producers, that space be reserved for two Washington stories a day. Why? It's the filthiest, most run-down city in the world with the highest criminal rate and welfare rate and unemployment rate of any city in the world for the amount of handout it gets from the government and the amount of rules and regulations it operates by. California stories can also be conveniently used to satisfy the network's policy of ending the program with humorous or light stories. Since the appeal of features they are defined in the Frank Memorandum is based on their internal irony, color, or absurdity, they have a universal appeal, but since producers in New York generally do not expect California stories to deal with timely subjects, crews and correspondents based in Los Angeles work under less pressure than crews elsewhere. Page 244, almost all stories about California during this period were depicted as taking place in curious, eccentric, and highly unpredictable circumstances. An unpluggable oil leak erupts in someone's patio in Los Angeles. Governors on horseback and in cowboy hats ride off into the California sunset at Governor Ronald Reagan's ranch. Prisoners commute to outside jobs from San Quentin Prison. California adults become heavily involved with war toys. California researchers advance the theory that inherited fates, blah, 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 blah. Why California? Because it is the kookiest, nuttiest, most left-wing, weird, eccentric rubber farm in the country. Therefore, South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Oklahoma, Colorado, and Kansas have to pick up that stuff. This explains a pornographic ring being discovered in Vermont about 10 years ago, run by a 15-year-old boy who liked to take pictures of animals cohabitating with children under 10. Where do you think they got that from? Fairbanks, Alaska? For example, page 247, the NBC correspondent in London told the editor of TV Guide, "We cover Northern Ireland, and the stuff that gets on the air is the rough stuff." You cover Northern Ireland? Well, there's no Northern Ireland. There are two islands. One is called Erie, the other is called Ulster. What do you mean, the NBC correspondent says, "We cover Northern Ireland"? That's the Pope's term for United Ireland with South and North Ireland under the Catholic Church. What are the NBC correspondent in London doing reporting on Northern Ireland when no such place exists except in the mind of the Irish Republican Army? If there's something fairly peaceful or something that involves their parliament, it's hard to get it on. You like the action, the rough stuff? You don't like the action, the rough stuff when the blacks start pulling into the streets? Where's the television documentary in Detroit where the police were ordered to let the black people steal all they could from all the stores, and the black people are going in and out of the stores in broad daylight stealing jewelry and television sets, and the police are standing there watching them? Where's the documentary of the blacks overrunning the police cars and beating the police up with brutality? Where are the stories on it on TV? You like action, do you? There's some action. Mugging and raping in the ghetto. Where are the pictures? 262, the first assumption made by news executives and producers is the viewer's interest is most likely to be maintained through easily recognizable and palpable images, and conversely, most likely to be distracted by unfamiliar or confusing images. So he develops a library of familiar images for the viewer to look at. Stereotypes. And then it says in the school it's a crime to present stereotype men and women or stereotype blacks. The news media carries out its message with stereotypes. This has special force in the case of the dinnertime news, when according to studies, the audience has fewer years of formal education than the population at large, and a large proportion of the viewers are children. Therefore, you brainwash the kid with stereotypes while telling him at school he can't do it. Why? They're the wrong stereotypes. CBS, NBC, and ABC produces a patriotic right-wing American as a fanatical gunslinger. That's a stereotype. CBS, NBC, ABC presents the average Republican senator or congressman as a dangerous fanatic who cares nothing about poor people. Those are stereotypes. They're presented by CBS, NBC, and ABC. In practice, therefore, cameramen, correspondents, and editors are instructed to seek out and select pictures that have an almost universal meaning. Hence, stories tend to fit into a limited repertory of images, which explains why so often shabbily dressed children symbolically stand for poverty, uniformed police symbolically stand for authority, Fire symbolically stands for destruction, and so forth. A second assumption in this logic of audience maintenance is the scenes of potential conflict are more interesting to the audience than scenes of placidity. Virtually all executives and producers share this view. But not if the conflict is blacks killing whites, or even blacks killing blacks. What you want is whites beating up blacks for a news item. Situations are thus sought out in network news. What? Situations are thus sought out? What? That isn't reporting the news. That's seeking out something to present a policy with. That's seeking out something to attract somebody's attention to establish a belief. That isn't reporting. Situations are sought out in network news in which there is a high potential for violence, but a low potential for audience confusion. Why, that's genocide, isn't it? Isn't that roots? Isn't that the stereotype, all black men are good and all white folks are bad? That's what causes violence. Page 263, news events showing a violent confrontation between two easily recognizable sides in conflict. For example, blacks versus whites. Yeah, but all you're going to get is the blacks who were lynched back in 1910. You're not going to get the black gang that beat white students senseless in the lunchrooms and washrooms and after ball games in more than 1,000 high schools in America and crippled some of them for life. You don't see that. Seek out those situations that have a high potential for violence. You select which violent one you want. You want the National Guard murdering innocent Kent State students without showing the bags of urine they're throwing at the police or the potatoes with razor blades in them. There's no news on CBS tonight. There's calculated, guided propaganda. It isn't biased reporting. It is not even reporting. It is religious dogmas and decrees presented to be effective to push home somebody's private personal belief. A third closely related assumption is the viewer's span of attention, which is presumed to be limited. As has been previously discussed, the high value placed on action footage by executives leads to a three-step distillation of news happening by correspondents, cameramen, and editors, all of whom seek the moment of highest action. Why, if you leave out what led to the action, you've got false reporting. If you show the highest action without what brought about that action, you're a liar. This helps explain why news and television tend willy-nilly to focus on activity, page 263. It is further assumed in this logic that news reports are more likely to hold the viewer's attention if they are cast in the form of a fictive story. You know what he tried to say there? Fiction. The fictive story? It's a new word. The fictive. He meant fiction. With narrative closure. What did he say? The news report will hold your attention if you are given a fictitious story and then a comment is made in the end of it to make you think it is real. For example, the documented evidence we gave you on this tape about that Vietnam veteran worrying about Ruby going to town, which was nothing but horse manure from start to finish. Page 263. For this purpose, it will be recalled, stories are generally edited. So there is a discernible beginning, middle, and end, rising action, a climax, then falling action. This self-contained form tends to lock an audience into a news story. No, it tends to lock them into fiction. An NBC vice president for audience research suggested, the net effect is that most events in network news are presented as miniature documentaries with similar plots. Two opposing sides confront each other, the tension builds to a climax, and there's an apparent denouement. One side comes out on top, the ACLU and the Roman Catholic Church, every time the story is presented. 264, to meet this expectation, producers must solve the problem of converting local happenings in the national stories. The nationalization of news, which is commonly regarded by network producers as the crux of their operation, is accomplished by using reports about particular events as illustration of national themes. You know what he said? He said we have our national themes are as follows. Absolute, perfect, 100% integration, make race mixing intermarriage. Absolute, absolute emptying of the taxpayer's pocket to help queers. Absolute mixing of lesbians and gays in the school to have access to school children before they get to middle school. Absolute gun control and confiscation of weapons so that nobody but the police and the criminals have the weapons. Absolute internationalism with one bank and one World Bank money and one religion under the Roman Catholic Pope. And what you must do is go out and find a local story that'll fit into that national format. What do you the rest of the local stories? You omit them. It's that simple. Now, I advise you to get a hold of this copy for yourself, although it's very much out of date now. The news media has become much more corrupt since this was written. This was printed really a very long time ago, as fast as things move today. This was printed and published way back in 1974, 16 years ago. And since that time, the news media has progressed on their left-wing, Catholic, Soviet, federal, district, environmental, ecology, African jungle computer course at a rate of the speed of light. This book was called News from Nowhere by Edward J. Epstein, Vintage Books, Random Books Company, New York, April 1974. This is an expert who spent days, weeks, and months investigating how news was gathered, how it was photographed, where it was sent, how it was edited, according to what standards, what was taken out, what was put in, what was added, and how it was put together to affect you and brainwash you and convince you that a fictitious lie was the truth. And the man that wrote it is not even a saved man, let alone a Baptist. But he's got some things you better know. And you better get it. You're not hearing any kind of reporting in the news on any television station. You're hearing a bunch of executives and producers who are out to make money, who have carefully sidestepped every issue that deals with the truth and given you a fictitious presentation designed to build a great new world where man is the measure of all things. And every issue that comes up connected with that is guided, edited, and put together and composed in such a way as to bring you to conclusions that are in line with that objective. And there isn't a word of truth in it from start to finish. In the first place, they're all monkey men. You have never seen a two-hour show on creationism on any television network in the world. And you never will. Even though hundreds of scientists are creationists and have as much scientific proof as any evolutionist who ever lived. As a matter of fact, H. Wilder Smith has a great deal more, and so does Henry Morris. But those won't be reported on. You'll get one side on television, and one side only. The side of practical atheists, evolutionary materialists, and pseudo-religious one-worlders, and that is CBS, NBC, and ABC. Don't look for the news there. Have a good day. Turn off the news. The greatest source of news in America today is the Holy Bible, an independent off-brand publication that are publishing stuff the newspapers don't dare print. And I don't mean Inquirer and Midnight, the tabloid, the sensational tabloids. They're almost as bad as Associated Press, International News Service. Not quite, but almost. Have a good day. Turn off the news. This is the news media of America today. This is what you look at on the 10 o'clock newscast, the action news, and that's the way it was today. And that's exactly the way it was. The news you got from South Africa was filtered through two pints of brains and came out as a fairy tale. The news you got from the Persian Gulf and the Lebanon couldn't amount to less than a hill of gummy bears. And the news you got from Rome and from London and from Paris came through the minds of homosexual, effeminate, radical, left-wing monkey men who think they're kin to animals. And they edit according to that fashion, with just enough little religious whipped cream from the Roman Catholic Church and just enough do-gooder stuff from the humanists to make the thing look good. It isn't news. It is news reporting. It's radical propaganda. Don't look at it, don't believe it, and don't subscribe to it.